Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite day of the week, of the weekdays, Friday. You know I call it Fri-yay because it is Friday. We have made it. I don't know about you, but this has seemed like a very long and stressful week. I have just had so many things going on. I feel pulled in a million different directions, but there is just something about a Friday to say, okay, we have a breath to take. And then Sunday's coming because Sunday is my real favorite day of the week because I love going to church. I love worshiping. I love fellowshipping with other believers. But today is Friday. It is Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday. I'm going to be answering some of your questions and we'll get to that in just a minute. But first, we have a very special guest with us here today. We have our very own Chelsea Wildman. She is with the American Family Association Foundation, and I'm so excited that she's here because she is going to talk to you about ways that you can support the foundation and support the work of the American Family Association. And we're going to talk about end-of-year giving. Now, what happens at the end of the year, you might wonder? Well, it's Christmas. Yes, Christmas is at the end of the year. And when you're thinking about where you want to gift your resources, where you want to gift your money, if you have a blessing that you want to share, then Chelsea's going to tell you just how you can do that. So Chelsea, thanks for joining us. It's so great. We know it's better to give than to receive. And so thank you for helping us find ways to do that. We would just love to hear some updates and reminders about how we can be generous and contribute.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on your program. So to everyone who has not yet thought of end of year giving, we are in that last quarter of the year. So we are here and having those gifts at the top of your mind to start thinking, okay, how can I creatively give through my resources to best bless the kingdom? That is a great place to start. And AFA and AFR is definitely a wonderful place to put those resources and those gifts. So we have many different ways that our supporters can contribute to our work here at AFA and AFR. A few of those ways, and I'll just kind of touch on those. And then if folks want some more detailed information, they can definitely give us a call and we'll give that number out in just a moment. But there are some different ways that you can gift. For outright gifts, we have, of course, just a good old-fashioned check. They can mail that to the ministry. They can gift stock. So any, maybe it's appreciated some, you know, capital gains that you want to get out of your portfolio and gift those stocks over. You can actually transfer that to our account, and then you would get a full tax deduction for that gift. And we can take that and get that off of your hands and out of your portfolio. And it's a great creative way to gift, as well as a qualified charitable distribution from a retirement fund, a required minimum distribution, all of those. We like to say, hey, probably want to start that process of that at the beginning of December at the latest, you know, middle to end of November is even better. But the beginning of December, that's when a lot of these companies and these funds are getting all of these requests to start gifting these funds out. So better to get ahead and start that early so that we can get that in for this 2024 tax year. We also have our charitable gift annuity, and we can take those up until the last day of the year. As long as that they are postmarked on that last date of December 31st, now certainly we would love it if you would call earlier to initiate that as well, but we can take our paperwork up until the last day of the year. And that goes for end of year giving with just an outright check as well. So those are some different ways that you can support the ministry of AFA and AFR. Do you have any questions for me, Dr. Peck, as I've kind of gone over those few options?
Yeah, you know, Chelsea, I have a lot of questions actually, but you know what I love? One of the things I love about AFA is that everyone is so accessible. I mean, there are real life people who talk on the phone. And so with those questions I have and the questions that our listeners may have, if you're thinking, okay, I've never heard of the term charitable gift annuity. What does that even mean? Could I do that? Just call AFA and ask. They can connect you to the person that you need to answer all of those questions. And Chelsea comes on this show right here, the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, just once a quarter to remind you and to give you that opportunity. And it's really important on the work that we do. It takes a lot of resources to be able to put on all of these great radio programs, The Stand, so many more other ministries that are a part of AFA. And so if you have questions, just go to the website. You can go to afa.net. You can find the phone number right on there. They even have a little email right on the bottom that says FAQ at afa.net. If you email there, I'm sure they'll be able to find you. And Chelsea, we just really appreciate you giving us this reminder and would love for you to just give one last encouragement on what these donations really mean to the work that's going on at AFA.
Well, we steward all of the resources very well, and I believe that the foundation, we help to support AFA and AFR overall with, just like you said, funding the wonderful programming that our sweet listeners listen to every day, that point them to Christ, that grow their relationship with the Lord, that help them to know how to parent better or to grandparent better, and through the eyes of the Lord's lens. And so I think that supporting our work is, of course, just a blessing to us and to so many others. You're only giving so that you can hear this programming, or so that, you know, a friend can. There are people all over the world because we have our app that's so accessible on each and every phone. And so truly, people around the world can hear the love of Christ and his message every day through the different programming options that we have. And so I would just encourage to give as each feels led that the Lord puts them on their heart. And you can reach us directly at the foundation, 1-800-326-4543. Extension 345. Again, 1-800-326-4543. Extension 345. Riley, Jessica, myself, we would love to speak with you and see what your situation is and how we could help.
Well, Chelsea, thanks so much again for dropping by. We know you're a busy mama, and we appreciate everything that you are doing to help continue the work. I know, you know, I've said so many times that my program here is really just still a baby, just about to turn 1 year, but we've had such a gracious welcome from the AFA family, and really all of the programs that are and services and ministries that are available, they're really real and authentic. And Chelsea, one of my favorite things, I've shared it several times now, was seeing your husband cleaning the upstairs, like with the cleaning supplies, stewarding the building. I have seen it with my own eyes. Now, I'm not going to ask you if he does that at home, but I might ask you about how he's doing with his phone, because that was the commitment that he made last time, that he was going to try to be off his phone. So I don't know. Should I dare and even ask? No, we'll wait. We'll wait. He's going to be on in Share-a-thon, but just tell him that's coming. Accountability, making sure.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, yes. Well, we look forward to seeing you at Share-a-thon next month and to listening then.
Well, thanks so much, Chelsea. You have a great day, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Well, that is just really encouraging to me. And I'll tell you, there are just so many great people who are doing so many great things. And their heart is for you, the people we are serving. That is always behind what we're talking about. How can we serve you best? How can we encourage you? How can we provide companionship on your day and show you the light of Jesus Christ? That is what we are here to do. And speaking of light, I told you yesterday that today I was going to answer questions about a new parenting style I'm seeing. It's called lighthouse parenting. Now, we have heard about so many different kinds of parenting styles. Some of them make us laugh. Some of them make us roll our eyes. Some of them make us a little bit angry if we are honest and we think, oh no, that is not how this should go. And yesterday I talked about some of those parenting styles, but let's do a little inventory and think about what kind of parent are you? Have you ever thought intentionally about your parenting style and what kind of parent you are? And it doesn't matter if you have littles, if you have school-age kids, if you have teens, if you have adults or even children who are grandparents, maybe you're a great-grandparent, you are still a parent. And what kind of parenting style do you have? Well, we started to see the emergence. One of the first styles of parenting that we saw was the helicopter parent. Now, these are parents who started hovering. And, you know, we really did this in response to some of the new threats that were coming and some of the digital tethers that we had. We finally had the capacity to have a digital baby monitor where we could watch our babies on video or listen to them on a sound, or we could watch them on camera in the front yard, or we could follow them on a geo tracker. And we started hovering, but we worried that could make our kids insecure and anxious because we're hovering all the time. Then we've got bulldozer parents who are going to remove any and all obstacles out of our child's path. Nothing will stand in their way. Did they get in trouble with school? Don't worry, I will take care of that teacher. Did they not make the team? Oh, I will go and talk to the coach. You know, we call this bulldozer parents, but it really, there's some mama bears out there, me included. I have to rein back my inner mama bear sometimes. But, you know, there are things that are not great about bulldozer parents. Our children need obstacles in their life to develop character, to develop resilience, because their life is not going to be obstacle free. They need to learn how to navigate those things. Well, then we have tiger parenting. Have you heard this? This is where they are just parents who are pushing their children to be very successful. They're just constantly on the prowl for opportunities. There's a little bit of power, a little bit of danger that's there, and that's tiger parenting. Well, then we have lawnmower parents who are going around manicuring everything, making sure that their child's life is perfect. Now, please don't view any of these things as judgment. I've had a little bit of each of these and a tendency toward all of these, but this is just a time for some honest self-reflection. And when we think about lawnmower parents, that came of age when we had customizable environments. Gone were the days that everybody used the same crib, everybody used the same high chair. I know, I remember in my grandmother's kitchen, she had one high chair that was from when her oldest child was born, and that same high chair held great grandbabies there, and it had lost the little tray that went on it, but you know, you could just find a towel and put it through there and pull it tight and the kid would stay there because she was sitting right there with them. But there are things that we're doing now, making sure our kids have monogrammed backpacks, monogrammed pencils, monogrammed bento boxes. Their initials are on the wall on their, you know, with their name on it. Everything in their life is customized and made for them. Well, then we have jellyfish parents. Well, these are parents who are just lenient, flexible, no real backbone. You know, we're just going to let things go. Then we had some movement called crunchy moms, right? These are moms who say no plastic, no extra sugar. We have silky moms who serve their kids sugary drinks in plastic cups in response to that. And scrunchy moms who kind of were somewhere in the middle. We have Apple Watch dads who focus on their wellness. We have Sharenters or Sharenting. Those are parents who post each and every moment of their parenting online. And mom influencers, momfluencers, who honestly make a profit from sharing their mom journey online. And then came the age of gentle parenting. And wow, I know a lot of us have feelings about that. But I want to talk when we come back about lighthouse parenting. This is a style of parenting that is just recently emerging, and I think I can get on board with this. We're still learning more, but I'm going to talk about some of the principles, and we'll equip you to think intentionally about your parenting style and what you are and what you want to be. I'll be right back on the other side of this break on Friday. Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there's an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
My lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you, oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore.
Welcome back, friends. Oh, then that song just put a swing in your step, just a skip in your step. I love it, love it, love it. That is My Lighthouse by Rend Collective. And thanks so much to our board operator, Richard, for making that song happen, because I'm talking about lighthouse parenting today and being a lighthouse. We've been talking about different parenting styles, and there are pros and cons of each. Now, one of the things to consider is that a lot of these parenting styles are really absent of any integration of faith component. So the bottom line is, if we're trying to parent on our own, if we're just trying to do it without any guidance from the Lord, we are destined to fail. We are absolutely destined to fail. So we've talked about helicopter parents, lawnmower parents, bulldozer parents, tiger parents, jellyfish parents, scrunchy moms, crunchy moms, Apple Watch dads, all of these things, you know, that are there. We have talked a lot on this show before about gentle parenting. And this is coming from the age, you know, we've been talking even this week about, you might have grown up in the age where basically our parents' parenting strategy was in three words. It was just suck it up, like get tough, move on, you're going to be fine. We really didn't talk about our feelings. So this pendulum swung, and we really want to be sensitive to our kids' feelings, but we've gone too far. And I'm sure many of you have seen some funny reels on social media where we can play out gentle parenting. But again, some of those things are good, and some of those things are taken too far. I've also heard in a lot of Christian parenting communities about gatekeeping. And gatekeeping parents really want to close the gates and protect their kids from any negative influence that may come toward them. And that is really difficult, because we cannot do this in a world that is saturated with screens. We just cannot protect them from anything, anytime, anywhere. I remember when one of my children was very young and just walking through the grocery store, waiting in line at the checkout, and I didn't notice because I was trying to put everything on the grocery conveyor belt. This was before, you know, you could order your groceries to be picked up, and maybe that's the solution. But she saw a headline that was extremely disturbing, with pictures that were disturbing, and asked me about it when we got in the car. And it just made my heart sink a little bit to think that something as benign as going to the grocery store would prompt that kind of exposure or that kind of question. And so, yes, we do want to try to protect our kids from everything that we can. But the truth is, in a world that's living at the speed of a smartphone, the likelihood of them being exposed to something that we're not ready for, that we wouldn't choose, that we don't intend, is pretty much 100%. And we need to protect them while also equipping them to navigate cultural confidence with cultural chaos with confidence. That's what we need to do. So enter this lighthouse approach. Now, I first heard this, I'm not sure where it first originated, but where I first saw it was from a pediatrician named Dr. Kenneth Ginsberg, who has done a lot of research on resilience in kids. And I started thinking about the image of a lighthouse and what that is. And so I started doing some nerdy research and thinking, okay, what do lighthouses do? And I found this interesting information. Lighthouses actually have several functions. First of all, they help navigate. Lighthouses are built so they can guide ships safely into and out of harbors and warn mariners of dangerous areas like shallows or rocky coast. And they're there to provide that signal. And I thought, yes, as parents, we are there to help our children navigate in and out of our presence, in and out of our influence. We are not around our children 24/7, but we can be that lighthouse that provides navigation, that tells them where to go and how to get safely home. Lighthouses also help with identification. If you'll notice, lighthouses are painted differently. Many of them have you seen one with red and white stripes? That helps the mariners identify them during the day. So for example, if it's painted all white, if the surroundings are dark, or red and white stripes, if it's against a white background, so that they can see it very, very clearly. And I thought about that. I read this sentence, lighthouses are painted differently. And I thought, you know what? As parents functioning as a lighthouse for our kids, we do present ourselves differently to culture. We may look very different from other parents who are around us. We may look very different in any area of context, but it's to help our kids identify that and to say, yeah, we may do things differently, but these are the values that my family holds on to. This was interesting to me too. Lighthouses are actually in close proximity to each other, and they have different flash patterns to help mariners identify their location. So I thought about that in the context of parenting. It's so important to have a village when you're parenting. We cannot do this alone, and we need to have people around us who are encouraging us, who are pursuing the same goals, the same values, that hold the same convictions that we do, who can help be other lighthouses for our kids and reflect that light back and have a pattern saying, yep, we're all in this together. Here we are, and we're here to help you. Lighthouses also help in aerial navigation. So if they're flying, here we are, we can help with that. So I thought these were all interesting things to think about how to be a lighthouse parent. So lighthouse parenting combines the most important aspects of raising children. We're talking about being loving and protecting and nurturing and also communicating with them. Lighthouses are used so much for communication, and so much of what we need in today's day and age where we are digitally connected but relationally disconnected, we need to have that communication. We need to provide a stable source of guidance and maintain a healthy balance of stepping in, but also allowing them the freedom to grow and learn on their own. You may have read about some research looking at kids with boundaries, and it's really interesting because if you put kids on a playground and you put a fence around that playground, kids are going to run to the very edge of the fence. They're probably going to crash into the fence a few times, actually. They will play right up against the fence. They will climb on the fence. They will go all over the playground. But when you look at research, when you take that fence away, it actually causes fear and anxiety because they don't know where the boundaries are. And what kids do, it's so interesting. They congregated together and kind of huddled in the middle of the playground and stood together because they weren't sure how far they could go. And that's really important to think about, because we need as parents to make sure that their play area is safe, that they do have some ability to take appropriate risk, to take age-appropriate risk. For example, if they're playing on the slide, well, they might fall off. But are you right there? Is there an adult there? Are you ready to respond? That is really important. So lighthouse parenting really is a balance where you're not being overly involved and you're not dictating everything. You're not overly present, but you're not also being apathetic or permissive or overly permissive or just kind of hands off. That's really important. A big part of lighthouse parenting means being present and available for your kids whenever they need guidance without overstepping your boundaries. And part of this, it's so important for us to continually invite our children to ask us questions, to seek our guidance, to be available and present. And I talked about this a little bit yesterday with Chris Sasser, but it was very convicting to me. And I continue to think about it even after we finished the show, because I was thinking about, am I present? And I'll ask you this again today, just in case you missed it yesterday. Are you present in your children's lives? Are you present in your family's life? Are you physically present? Are you together with them? Are you giving them your full face? Are you mentally present when they're talking to you? Are you cueing in and really seeing, okay, something's wrong, something feels off today, I feel a cue to go and pursue this further? Are you emotionally present? Are you annoyed by their emotions? Okay, why are you moping around? I don't have time for this today. Or, oh, why are you anxious? Come on, we've got to go. And so much of that is driven by our hurried, busied lives. And we really need to slow down and make sure that we are physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually present. And that really translates very beautifully to being the picture of a lighthouse. Being there, being steady, being easily recognizable, watching for signs of danger, giving guidance to a safe path. And when we are over-involved as parents, we really don't even let our kids stop and ask for help, because we are identifying the problems before our kids even see them, and we're providing solutions, and our kids are not struggling with those things. We need to let our kids struggle a little bit. We don't want to solve our kids' problems for them. We can't. A lot of times we can't. But the goal of lighthouse parenting is cultivating relationships where our kids feel completely welcome, open, safe, and comfortable bringing issues, bringing challenges to us. And if they're confident that we will work through them, that they won't be alone. But what happens when we try to fix everything for them, and this can be something as small as, hey, I forgot my lunch, will you bring it to me? Well, there may be situations where grace is warranted, but there also may be situations where we can say, you know what? You won't starve by missing one lunch, and maybe your hungry tummy can be a good consequence and a reminder to don't forget your lunch. And we need to make sure that we are allowing them to experience those natural consequences when it is appropriate. And that can be hard. So some of the emerging principles that we're looking out in lighthouse parenting is checking in often. I do this, and my husband does this. We do this with our kids, and we call it heart checks. When we sense that something is off, we'll just say, okay, it's time for a heart check. Let's go through how you're feeling. Let's find and label that emotion that you're feeling, and then talk about why you're feeling it and what's going on. So just constantly checking in and just making sure that everything's okay. And when they tell you everything's fine, but you know something's off, just being patient and content, not being frustrated by that, but just continuing to say, okay, well, you know, I'm here if you need me. I'm here if you need me. You can always talk to me about anything. And if you're not saying that enough, that they're rolling their eyes and saying, I know, then you're not saying it enough. We need to balance autonomy and guidance. Kids really need to know what they can do and be able to do that on their own. they really need to feel capable. And in a little bit, I'll talk about those seven C's, also from Dr. Ginsberg, of resilient kids and how we can have resilient families. But we need to balance, okay, when do we tell them what to do and when do we let them figure it out? Even if it's something small. And again, so often we want to fix their problems because we've got things to do. We have got places to go. We've got people to see, and we don't have time to wait in that struggle. But waiting in those struggles is really important. This can start as young as when your kids are making the bed. And, you know, if a five-year-old's going to make the bed, that's going to take a long time, and it's probably not going to be perfect. So we just feel like, oh, let me just do it for you. Or maybe that's a teenager with their homework assignment and they come to you for help. And the next thing you know, you're up to your elbows in glue and you're doing the poster yourself because you don't want to let them struggle in it because we don't have the patience for it. Another principle of Lighthouse parenting is giving kids enough space to experience and learn from failure, showing them that failure is not the end of the world, that it's okay to fail. So that's why a lot, and I know a lot of you parents, especially parents who are homeschooling, you're really rock stars at this, just giving kids some space to experiment, whether that's through science or whether that's through chores or whether that's through trying to learn a new skill or a new sport, and letting them say that, okay, this is not for me and that's okay. Another principle is being available whenever guidance is needed. And that can be really hard, but it's about being very responsive. Whenever our kids need something, responding right in that moment. And that can be really difficult to do, but just providing guidance, not a quick answer, but guidance. We need to also foster independence. We see, especially after COVID, a generation of kids who are experiencing separation anxiety like toddlers used to experience it. They don't want to be away from their home. They don't want to be away from their family. They want to be in a group. And we really need to have situations where we are fostering that independence and saying, you can do this. You can do this on your own, and letting them do things on their own. So one of my favorite things to do to foster independence is when we're traveling. I may tell my kids who are older, okay, you show us where to go to the gate, or I'll meet you at the gate. You go find the gate and I'll find you here, knowing it's a safe environment and we can find each other there. There are so many different ways that you can do it in different ages and stages of life. But we really need to allow our kids the opportunity to make decisions and problem solve on their own. That is so important. Well, when we come back, I'll talk about the seven C's of resilience and what specific things you can do to promote resilience in your kids. So when they experience failure, when they experience setbacks, that we can be there for them and we can encourage them to grow to be the person that God has created them to be. I'll be right back talking more about Lighthouse parenting and resilient families. We'll see you on the other side of this break.
My father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
To the small town barber, everybody in a dark place. Yeah. Crying tears like a river runs. Now I'm brother and you're caught in the rain.
running low on faith. Can I get an amen? This is for when life is coming at ya. Hands up, here's your anthem. If you're having a hard day, ain't no way you're giving up, 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 up. If you're dealing with heartbreak, ain't no way you're giving up, 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 up. Keep your head high, keep on fighting, 'cause the pressure makes a diamond. Tomorrow's a new day, yeah. Ain't no way you're giving up, 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 up. When the
welcome back, friends. That is Up by Taryn Wells, and tomorrow is a new day, and it's Saturday. It's the weekend, so whatever you're going to do with your family, I hope that you're going to have good family time and just a lot of fun doing whatever it is that you're going to do as we're in the fall and getting closer to Christmas. I know I had to sneak it in there, but today is Friday. Friday, it's Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, and I've been getting a lot of questions about lighthouse parenting. This is a relatively new concept that has been talked about by Dr. Kenneth Ginsberg, a pediatrician who's done a lot of research on resilience in kids. And I want you for a minute to think about a lighthouse. Maybe you've been to one before. Maybe you've seen one. Maybe you haven't. If you haven't seen one, I'm sure you've seen a picture of one. And I want you to just think about a lighthouse and think about our kids as boats out on an ocean that is unpredictable, that is sometimes calm and sunny, and sometimes overtaken by sudden storms we didn't see coming. Don't you want to be a lighthouse pointing your kids to the hope that is in God's word, the hope that is in the truths that will never, ever fail, the good news of the gospel? That's what we're talking about. And fad parenting is just like fad diets. I mean, we can all talk about different fad diets that have come, that have gone. I remember when I was growing up, all the moms did the cabbage soup. You know, you just think about any kinds of fad diets that come and go. Same thing with fad parenting. But if we are depending on the Lord for wisdom to guide our kids, if we are trusting Him with the outcome, if we are looking to Him every day to help us when we fall short, we're going to be doing okay. But I think this lighthouse parenting concept is really something to think about. It can help promote healthy boundaries that really is going to build our kids' self-esteem, their self-confidence. It's going to make them be independent, which we eventually want them to be, able to problem solve and to be resilient when they face hardship. Lighthouse parenting approach also, it really emphasizes communication and encourages your kids to come to you for guidance, and it lays the foundation for a supportive relationship between parent and child. Now, again, this is if your kids are toddlers or teens or even grown-ups. Sometimes I hear from parents who have grown children, it can be really hard. What do you do? How much do you step in? How much do you say? How much do you not say? How much do you guide? Well, if you can picture yourself as a lighthouse, just being a guide and building that supportive relationship so they know they can look to you for problems, that is really, really important. It also helps our kids build better coping skills to know that they can get through tough times. That's really, really important. So some of the things to think about when you're thinking about your parenting styles is adjusting your approach based on how old your kids are. Like I told you, little kids are going to need a lot more help solving problems than when they are older. And we are always going to love our kids unconditionally, but we can't be afraid to set boundaries. Now, we do know from research that the most effective parenting style when we're looking in an academic sense is actually something called authoritative parenting. Now, authoritative parenting is not authoritarian, it's authoritative. It means I'm in charge, but I'm also nice and approachable and I love you. It's characterized by reasonable demands and being very responsive. So yes, I expect a lot of you, but I'm here to help you. I'm here to give you resources. I'm here to give you support. I'm here to cheer you on. I'm here to comfort you when you fall and when you fail. So parents who are authoritarian parents, they listen to their kids and they love them, but they set limits. And they also aren't afraid to discipline when something goes wrong. But it also relies a lot on positive reinforcement. So we don't just punish the bad, but we reinforce the good. That's really important to do. So giving them fair and consistent discipline when the rules are broken, having a home where your kids are allowed to express their opinions in a respectful way is really important. Encouraging kids to discuss options. So if you're trying to decide what to do as a family, you invite their input, but you still make the decision. You express warmth and nurturing while fostering their independence and helping them to reason through things. It's so much about listening. And if you have listened for any time to this program, you know I talk about listening with your face all the time. If you want to give your family the best Christmas gift you could ever give them, it would be to listen with your face, to really give them your whole face, your whole heart, your whole attention, to tell them they are seen, they are heard, they are known, and they are loved. That is really, really important. Now, authoritative parenting contrasts with authoritarian parenting, where authoritarian parenting is really strict and is focused on punishing mistakes. And it's a my way or the highway. And it is, you live by my rules, you live in my house, which again, those principles have their place, but they need to be balanced by that nurturing and warm environment. And those are things that help us in thinking about this lighthouse parenting style, making sure we have open communication, knowing it's okay for kids to fail. And that brings us to principles of resilience, because we know that our kids are going to face hard times. And frankly, we are too, no matter how old we are. And so I want to go over with you these 7 C's of resilience as we finish our time together today. And I want you to think through and think, how are you nurturing these at home, in your family? The first C is competence. Now, this is really important for our kids to know they can handle a situation. They can do something. They have individual strengths. They can make good decisions. And when they're little, that's going to be in something as small as choosing their pajamas. And when they're older, that's going to be something as important as choosing a college or choosing a life mate. But we need to make sure that we are not giving our kids the message all the time. Here, let me do that for you. Let me do that for you. Let me do that for you. Letting them struggle, being patient to let them struggle, and then praising them when they're able to do something. What are they competent to do? That is really important. The second C is confidence. And children need to believe that they are competent. They need to have confidence in their competence. So recognizing the best in each child, so that they can see what they have done well and they can feel good about that, what they have contributed. And that third C is contribution, realizing that the world is a better place because I am in it. That's what the message we want our kids to know. God made you for this time, for this place, for this family, for this community, for this purpose. And you matter. The world is better because you are here. And we can really help our kids to cultivate contribution by serving others and using the gifts that they have to contribute to others. So you see how these are connected? We've got competence. I'm good at something. Confidence. I know that I'm good at something. And contribution. I know that I can use this thing that I'm good at to serve others. Now, I want you to think for a minute. Think about your oldest child, okay? And I want you to think and answer this question. What is the greatest gift they have for your family that they can contribute? What is their greatest contribution? What is their greatest strength? And here's the thing. If you can't answer that question in about 10 seconds, then neither can they. They don't know what their purpose is in your family. So I really encourage you to think about each member of your family, whether that's your spouse or your child or your parents or the grandparents, and think, what is their greatest strength? What is their contribution that they bring to your family? I think about my oldest, who has such a gift of hospitality. She can make anyone feel at home. I'm talking your bed made like it's a hotel and a chocolate on your pillow with a note saying how special you are. There are times when other kids in my family need that gift of hospitality. They need to feel welcome in their home when they have felt unwelcome in places in the world. And so we can activate her and say, hey, here is your chance. We need your competence here. We need your gift, your strength. Can you contribute to our family? That is really important, saying you're good at this, you go to work. That it will just make a kid's spirit soar. So we've talked about competence, confidence, and contribution. Let's talk about connections. This is developing close ties to family and community. Now, your family may live close or they may live far. You may have a close family relationally, or you may be estranged. Regardless of whatever your circumstances is, your kid needs connections. You need connections to your community. These help us to feel secure, and these help us to feel safe physically and emotionally. And that is really important for them to know that we are connected to this place and to this time. I have deep ties here. There are people who love me, who know me, who see me. Kids who have deep connections like that are happier, they have lower risk of mental health conditions, they also are less likely to have risk-taking behaviors. So having those connections is important. Let's talk about coping. Coping effectively with stress will help our kids be prepared to overcome challenges that they have. And do you know what's the best way for our kids to learn effective coping? It's for us to learn it on our own. And honestly, parents, as a group, we have some negative coping mechanisms for stress. One of those is scrolling through our phone while we're simultaneously complaining to our kids about turn off the TV, get off your iPad, get off your phone, turn off your screen, while we are justifying our own use. But we do that sometimes as a coping mechanism for stress. Maybe we're just doom scrolling or binge watching or just numbing our thoughts or emotions. Sometimes we cope with caffeine. That can be a negative coping mechanism for adults. So we need to make sure that we're modeling positive coping strategies. Let me just tell you, if you are thinking, I don't even know if I can name a coping strategy that I have, I want you to think about, what do you do when you feel stressed out? How do you cope with that stress? Do you have an intentional coping strategy that you use, or do you just hold on tight and wait for it to pass? Well, great coping strategies for starter coping strategies would be prayer and gratitude. Anytime you're feeling that stress, if you can just pray and pray out loud, pray in front of your family and say, okay, we're having a hard day. We're having a hard time. I'm just going to pray about this. Let me pray for us. And then find things you're grateful for. When we express gratitude, that really helps us to cope because we start to remember there are things to be thankful for. It brings down our blood pressure. It really changes the way our body is responding. So we need to be modeling specific, intentional, healthy coping strategies. Other great coping strategies are exercise, taking a walk, going out in nature, seeing what is out in nature. That can be a great way to cope. Just walk around and really be intentional, not be on your phone, but be engaged in nature. The next C is control. Children who realize they can control the outcomes of their decision, they are more likely to be resilient. So knowing that they have some sense of control, knowing that we can't control everything, but that we can control our response. That is really, really important. And then the last C is character. Just knowing that we want to strengthen our kids' character. We want them to have confidence in their character. What is it supposed to look like? And demonstrating how those behaviors affect other people and helping your child recognize their character traits that are so appealing. I've talked about this before as you start to look at old pictures and we talk about memories that happened, events that happened. I really encourage you as you're looking at younger pictures of your family to emphasize character traits that you saw in those moments. You know what? This was a season in your life. We could say, yes, that it was really hard, but how powerful would it be to say, this was a season in your life that was really character building? I saw you display courage like I have never seen before. You were really tenacious during this season of your life. You were really gracious. You were really resilient. Those things are really powerful in helping to craft self-image, which we know that we are made in the image of God. So know that stress is a normal part of life. Some stress is good and some is not. And some of our listeners who are not feeling good stress are those impacted by Hurricane Helene. And we are praying for you. We are so grateful for all of the first responders. Know that our hearts, our thoughts, our prayers are with you and with all of the linemen and the first responders and everyone who is going out to help in that situation. We really pray the Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face and the sun to shine upon you until we meet again.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.